Why do football coaches yell in the trenches so much?
That is a great question.
Isn't it?
Man. Because don't you hate when you get yelled at by a coach?
It's like the worst.
You're never thinking, why is he yelling at me? You're just like, what is going on? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You panic?
You panic. Sometimes, like, I don't cry or anything, but, like, you know what I mean? I've cried before. But, like, when you get, like, so yelled at, you're like, oh, my God. Do you know what I mean? You get that pit in your heart just drops for a second. You're like, you know?
That's
like,
absolutely.
It's all happened to us from youth to, like, even pros, because you're so into pros. You don't want to get cut. You don't want to lose your job. So when you do something wrong, you're like, do you know what I mean? Oh, God.
You know? Well, you think about it, like in the pro level, you're expected to be perfect.
Perfect.
And as soon as you're not perfect, you get yelled at. You're like, oh, God, what did I do wrong? How, like, you're a problem solver. Like, what can I do to change what has caused this?
Yep.
And you think about it, the worst part about it is when it happens in a game and it's like in front of all the fans, in front of your family, just getting yelled at.
Oh, man. And to go off that point, that's why I could never be a lawn snapper. Imagine being a lawn snapper. Even, I don't even know how you do it as a center. Like, the, anybody who has to touch the ball and always have a perfect snap back, like, when that thing goes over the quarterback's head? What if he lawn snaps it over and you're in front of 40,000 fans? They're like, Dan Clark just lost the game because he snapped the ball over the head. Like, isn't that, like, ever been a fear in your head at all?
It's happened. Oh. Labor Day. Snapped it over their head and it touchdown for the other team.
Bro, but I didn't mean to bring up.
It's okay. It happens. And you know what? I think the one thing now that I'm not playing anymore, I look at it, my mentality, even if I struggled with my snaps, was like, okay, as long as I get it back there, if it's low, it's high, whoever's back there as a quarterback will tell me what I need to work on. But here's my question. I'm expected to be perfect to throw the ball between my legs to a quarterback to catch the ball or running back if it's a wildcat.
Yeah.
The quarterback throws the ball into the ground or overthrows a receiver.
Or an interception.
It's like, oh, it's okay. He'll have a better throw next time. As soon as a center throws the ball into the ground, been there one too many times, or throws the ball over his head. What are you doing? Get me a new center. Put someone else in there to snap. On the sidelines, get some snaps. It's just like, sorry. So sorry. But in saying that, it's you look at when you snap that ball, it's about you need to understand your fundamentals. It's about keeping your elbow pit faced forward, having that perfect spot on your inside of your thigh to snap the ball. But then what's the next part? ID the defense. Adjust to linebackers moving in front of you. See the free safety. Have a defensive lineman that can kill you in 3.5 seconds that can lift you off the ground. It's about having the able to take something negative, understand that it's happened, and then be able to transition to the next four or five plays. I did better that my last year in football than I did my entire career before.
And why was that?
Why was it? Because I understood my expectations. Yep. And it was also that I understood the things that I needed to work on a lot better. I looked at my career starting out as center. I was never really perfect with my snaps because I was just like slowly like immersing myself in understanding the playbook and stuff like that. I'm like, that it will come. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have the good days and you have the bad days, especially with the guy that long snaps, right?
Oh, I could imagine. Yeah, that's why I give shout out to those guys. Like,
absolutely,
Jordan Hughes, man, good for him.
Perfect, right? It's like you got to be perfect spot. And like I said, I don't want to be a kicker. I don't want to be a long snapper. I could be a holder.
Oh well, I think a holder. Though, holder would be bad. Just to go off of why I even brought that like that topic up is because the Riders forced me into that backup lawn snapper position like since day one.
Yep.
Because I could kind of do it,
yep.
But I told them I've never done it in a game. I've never done it. I could just kind of do it because that's something you should always learn. It's something to have in your back pocket. They always say,
yep.
Right? So I had it in my back pocket. I could kind of do it. Nothing to a pro level person could do it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? But they don't, and at a pro level, they don't want to carry two lawn snappers.
Nope.
Do you know what I mean? So they want to carry one lawn snapper and maybe another Canadian kid that could lawn snap just in case.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So they forced me into this position. Do you know what I mean? So I would go out pregame lawn snap and just messing up.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Messing up every snap. And then they would still expect, oh, we just need you to get it back there, Nick. We just need it just in case, right? Yep. One time, Jorgen came off in a preseason game. His finger was just completely bent.
Yep.
He looked at me. He's like, Nick, I need you. I can't, right? I was like, no, there's no freaking way of doing this. And then he figured it out and got it in there. But like, that's where the mentality is. I think you got to be a pro in your position. Like as a center, yeah. I don't think you could tell a left tackle to go play center right now and he'd be amazing at it.
Yeah, I started out as a right tackle in high school, left guard and junior, and then when I got to the pros, it was like, how can I get a spot on this team without learning every position?
Yeah.
So I remember 2011, clear as day, we stood around each other and we were like, okay, we got a center, guard, left tackle. Oh, this is second string. So it's like, okay, that's perfect. We don't have a right tackle. Who's going to play right tackle? And we all looked at each other like wide-eyed. We're like, I'm not doing it. I was like, fine, I'll do it. So I went out there every single day, just gave the best I could at right tackle. By the way, people can't tell, I am 6'2 on a generous day. Generous.
6 feet.
Full-on T-Rex arms. Like, they are dangling when I'm out there. And you know what? It's about taking what opportunities presented to you.
Yep.
Right? And having that opportunity, look at that fear that it put in you to long snap.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But when you have that opportunity, that is going to continue to gain the coach's trust.
Yep.
And it's going to continue to build you as a player that, you know what, in a situation, I can do whatever's needed for me.
The more you can do.
Exactly.
And that's how you will go pro. That's how you go to college. That's how you will get your spot to get your chance eventually. The more you can do, play special teams, do everything you possibly can. If you play offensive line, know all the positions. If you play defensive line, try to know all the positions. Play special teams, know absolutely everything. Try to long snap like I did, because it helped me out make a team.
Absolutely.
You know, it scared me.
Well, and you look at it right now, you look at the NFL and they talk about draft, and then they look right away, okay, well, you know, if he doesn't pan out to be a good right tackle, they'll just move him inside.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Well, start in high school learning on being able to play different positions. You may not be all the time right tackle, but you know what? If I can snap the ball, wow. Yep. That has just opened up another avenue for you to be able to play in another position. I know how to put my hand down in the left guard position. You know what? I may not be the best, but in an emergency situation where that six man is only a center, you can be able to jump in there and be like, okay, listen, I'm going to go play left guard. We're going to bump the other guy over to play center.
I feel like if you're not like a first round pick or like a complete stud, that's how you get in the pros. That's how you eventually work into your starting spot, and that's how you work into your 15-year career. You don't just jump in it.
No, and having those opportunities goes a long way, and you just got to be able to adjust. And you know what? It's going to be scary. As a football player, you never want to admit you're scared. But going out there and doing things that you're not comfortable doing is putting yourself in a scary position. Because you're always looked around you. And how many times did you, in your mind, be like, don't fail, don't fail, don't fail? It's the same thing. What do old linemen right now struggle with when they punch? Throwing their hands. Why? Because they've been beat too many times. Right? And then it's like, okay, I'm just going to throw my hands a little bit and then I'm going to clamp on.
Yep.
No, you trust your hands, you throw those punch, right?
Agree, 100%. I was going to say earlier on when you went to the pros, and we do get scared of messing up. Like, I remember like going through practice and making one or two mistakes and then kind of like have to go on film after practice immediately to figure out what just happened. Was that the same kind of way you had felt it or no?
Absolutely, man. Like, you bring back PTSD for me, man. I look at one of my first ever real game opportunities with the Riders. It was 2012 against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Labor Day Classic. I think we were winning like something like 52-0.
Yeah.
They bring out Brendan Labatt and they said, Dan, you're jumping in there. And we had Chris Sweet as an offensive line coach. So I go out there. I can't remember what we were doing on the play. Come back to the, and I messed up bad, and I come back to the sidelines, and you can tell Coach Sweet is not very, very happy. So I get to the sidelines, and like, I sit down in the left guard spot, center beside me, left tackle. I'm like, oh boy, what am I gonna say when he asks what happened? And I'm sitting there and I'm like rubbing my knees, and he's like, Dan, why did you do this? What happened? And like, everything kind of went through my, I was like, Coach, I was just really excited to have the opportunity, and I just went out there and I just did that. And he just I've never seen a coach just laugh when they're going to discipline you for something.
Yeah.
And then he was just so flabbergasted because I was literally like, I was just excited.
Yeah.
I was honest. And you know what? Having that in that moment, it really like shined a light for me.
Yep.
Because I was just like, you know what? If I can be open and honest, like, hey, I just got really excited. I may have, you know, I may have whiffed on the defensive lineman, but you know what?
I tried.
But no, you look at, for myself, it was after a game, I'd beat myself up, hardly sleep, because I'm going through my mind, what could have I done better, especially when you lose. You're trying to break down those little things. Okay, if I would have won this block, if the defensive lineman didn't backdoor me in that run game and get that TFL, what if we broke the run out the front side? You play a ton of what ifs in your head.
And I think the biggest what if is, what is coach going to say tomorrow? Yes. I think that's the main thing. Like, I think if we didn't have that, hey, we're going to go look over the whole film tomorrow in front of all our peers, all our friends, and show you, hey, Dan, you messed up in front of the whole team. That accountability is never even seen in the world nowadays, or even business. So I think that's something we learn in football, that anxiety and everything, we want to hold our standards to perfection.
Absolutely.
Which is not going to always happen. So we learn to go into a group with all our peers and all our men that we decided to play with, and we get into this, and we have to take accountability for what happened out there, because it affected the team. And that gives us life lessons that I don't think a lot of people get nowadays.
No, and I think football teaches everyone such a different accountability.
Yeah.
Right? You're training in a group setting. You're training by yourself. You have one goal in mind, and that's a championship. And if you don't have that goal in the mind while you're training in the off season and you're bettering yourself, what are you even doing?
Yep. Because we never really answered the question to go off of why do coaches yell at us?
Okay.
I think why coaches yell at us is not because we messed up for a first time, or we think we messed up for a first time. I think they try to install something or implement something for a couple practices or a couple weeks, and they think that we should understand it by now, and they're frustrated to see us not performing or executing. And then we think that we're doing it right. And I think that's when they get angry at us. It's like, well, I thought I was doing it right, coach. I swear I didn't. So I think it's just a miscommunication between the coach and the player a lot of time, right? Obviously, we get yelled at when we mess up. But I think there are times when coaches yell at you when we don't see eye to eye on things, especially in the youth football or high school football. When we get yelled at, it's because maybe we're not doing the right way. But as a high school football player or a youth football player, it takes a minute to learn and figure this out. And it takes more than a season to figure out this stuff. So sometimes the coach or the player might not see it the right way, and that's why coaches get upset. Coaches get upset in the pros because we messed up.
Yeah.
Right? We need to know what we're doing in the pros.
Well, absolutely. I think in high school especially, you have to understand, or even youth football, you have to understand the capability of what your players can learn at as a coach. Yeah. And I put myself in those shoes as well. I get frustrated when I have to say something over and over and over and over. And over and over and over and over again, right? In those situations, you know what? I understand why coaches yell, and I understand why they get frustrated. I think it's a little bit different as you have a real passionate coach to be able to coach, especially nowadays. And I don't even think nowadays to say that. I think as a coach, you have to have a certain passion for the sport and the group you're coaching. Mm-hmm. But it's also having a good understanding of the type of group you have. And I'm going to swing the yelling to understanding, did the coach explain it in different ways to help the players? Maybe Charlie over there doesn't learn by being on the whiteboard. Maybe Charlie over there doesn't learn, or Tyler over there doesn't learn from walking through it on the football field. Well, maybe Billy only will learn it from having team drills happen, right? I look at the biggest one as an offensive lineman. Your first step should be 6 inches. Well, a coach saying 6-inch step sometimes to a kid, well, if I take a 10-inch step, is he going to be mad at me? If I take a 12-inch step, is he going to be mad at me? It's about maybe starting to figure out the way the coach is talking and making those little, okay, if I take a 3-inch step, perfect, it's a 6-inch step. It's about adjusting sometimes to that.
But I think you also, like, you're talking as the perspective of a coach.
Yeah.
Think about it as the perspective of a brand new offensive lineman. That dude taking a 6-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, he's thinking he's just taking the same step.
Yeah.
He's like, coach, I swear I'm taking a 6-inch step. So how do you tell him to take that 6-inch step? How do you break it down even more to him to take that 6-inch step? You take a ruler out?
Well, you don't. I think that's the biggest thing. Once you start getting down to measurements in your mind as a coach, you have unreal expectations. Yeah. It's just a guideline for that player.
It's like me. That's like a meme. Like, you see those memes, like when coach gets, like, they're always upset about splits.
Yeah.
You know,
sorry, it's a splits or step or going past the midline of the defender. But I think it is using small little cues for the players that are visual learners, mm-hmm. having a dot and understanding that, okay, Billy, if your feet are here and you're going to take this one step to this spot. And I think that's one thing that kids always forget too. While you're brushing your teeth, you can take that little step. You can take a jab step to your left. You can take a jab step to your right. And about implementing that from a youth standpoint, what am I going to get better at? Have that one thing all week that you're going to get better at. Yep. And I think that that goes a long way.
I think that's something that the youth needs to understand, that you don't get better at practice. You get better after practice. You learn stuff at practice. You get in better shape at practice, right? You learn how to work as a team at practice, but you need to take that knowledge, that understanding that coach gives you, and then work on it the other days, the other nights. It's repetition, repetition. It's the 10,000 reps, the 10,000 hours to become a professional.
Yeah. And just to get back to the topic, I think why coaches yell is because they just want to yell, I'll be honest.
They got frustrations at home.
They
got their kids yelling at them.
Job didn't go that well today, so they're like, I'm going to take it out on these 10 kids. No, I think it just happens. You just build yourself. Yeah. It's a constant, like, okay, if I've done it 10 different examples to the kids or to the youth, and then all of a sudden they're not getting it, or, you know, Brandon and Billy in the background are talking while coach is explaining something and the attention isn't there. I think that it just comes with the common... any sport. Offensive line in football is one of five. It starts with the center, left guard, left tackle, right tackle. Main responsibilities are protecting the quarterback, opening up run lanes against a defensive line or defensive front. More than what an offensive lineman does is based on mental, physical, and dominating traits that they have in their day-to-day life that makes them a good offensive lineman. How does a defensive lineman tackle a quarterback?
Tackling a quarterback is all about who is that quarterback. You could have a Lamar Jackson or you could have like a Peyton Manning. Two completely different guys. Peyton Manning's just going to sit there and he's going to take it. Like, no diddy.
He's going to take it.
But Lamar, like, you could think about having the cleanest sack of like your life. And for some reason, he'll spin out or he'll step forward or just make you juke you at the last second. You'll be like, what just happened to me? So first of all, it's understanding who the quarterback is, and it's about breaking down just before you get there. When you're beating an offensive lineman and you get a really good pass rush move and it connected, you're like, wow, I'm getting a free sack. I'm going to run as hard as I can and destroy this quarterback. You need to break down. Just like the normal fundamentals of football, when we want to go tackle somebody, we don't just, oh, I'm going to go run through him or we're going to get our ankles broken, right? Yeah. So when you're just two, three steps away, break down just for a second and see what the quarterback does and then make your tackle. It's all about fundamentals. I know we get really excited, hyped up. We're going to get the sack. It's the mentality change of when you're just 2-3 yards away, that what is he going to do for a split second, and then you wrap and get the ball out. One thing I would say to young defensive linemen is don't just try to go for the kill shot. Go for the ball. If you're going for the ball, you'll always get the tackle.
Awesome. Which you talk about, you have a Peyton Manning and Lamar Jackson. Which, as a defensive end that is rushed to your abilities, which would you prefer to go against?
Well, Peyton Manning, man.
But here's my argument about Peyton. Peyton can get the ball out.
Well, yeah, I guess getting a sack on Peyton Manning's harder because, you know what I mean? He's going to be 1-2 drop. He's going to throw that ball. I get it, right? So maybe you're going to get a – when you're playing Lamar Jackson, you might get a free sack. Do you know what I mean? Yep. But when you're going against Peyton Manning, that sack that you get against him is like, wow, I had to work for that sack. So you want to sack him like Tom Brady, right? If you sack Tom Brady, you're like, I'd rather sack Tom Brady, yep, right? Lamar Jackson, he might just roll out and you might just get lucky because you're out there and get him. You know what I mean? So there's two aspects of looking at it.
Yeah, I look at it the same way as an offensive lineman. When you're blocking for a Lamar Jackson, there's times where you're based on his steps of where he's setting up to throw the ball. As an offensive lineman, you're thinking, okay, it's a five-step drop. I know he's going to be this many yards back. I'm going to set to my spot in your mind. But then all of a sudden Lamar chooses to move, and after that, it's just a complete what's going to happen, where do I go? So when you're engaged with that defensive lineman, it's hard for you to create and understand where they're moving in those moments. That's why so many of them look like, oh, that's a garbage sack. The offensive lineman just gave up. So
what do you think when that happens, when you have your defensive lineman or defensive end in a perfect position where like, oh, I have him, and then the quarterback spins out or rolls out, and then he gets a sack on you? Is like, is that your fault?
Well, you think, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's your fault. You look at it, you think, okay, my quarterback is set up 5 to 7 yards behind me before the set of the ball.
Yeah.
Or before the snap of the ball. Once that ball is snapped, you take your first set to be able to try to cover the midline of the defender or get to the position your coach wants to be in. after you've taken those your appropriate set angle to that defender, you thinking, okay, this guy's going to speed rush me outside, work an inside move, or he's going to power move me. So in understanding that, you're like, okay, that's what you're prepped for in your mind. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, quarterback rolls out or spins out, and then the defender changes their mindset. It's about reacting in that situation.
So you don't get in trouble in film then if that happens?
Well, yeah. You should have worked a little bit harder, but it's one of those ones that you as an offensive lineman, you're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you got to just kind of chalk it up to one of those.
And like you said, you should also know your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you maybe should know if the place is going for like 5 or 6 seconds over time, you should, oh, he's going to spin here or get out of the pocket 100%. Here. I'm going to maybe work out. How do offensive linemen protect the quarterback?
You got to know your quarterback. Right?
Yep.
Is he your Peyton Manning type, Tom Brady, where I wouldn't say not as athletic, but they seldomly run. You know what I mean? They trust their unit in front of them to be in the position. And then you look at a type of like Lamar or Jalen Hurts, who would be another one, Patrick Mahomes. You look at the way that they kind of can make moves. It's just about understanding your quarterback, where they're going to set up, how they're going to throw the ball. A lot of defensive players don't understand. It also matters where the quarterback drifts to. We've had quarterbacks in the past that only drift to their left, and it kind of puts a situation where that's a left side of the offensive lineman that need to be quicker to be able to set to their defensive lineman. But understanding how you protect to the quarterback is about knowing who your quarterback is, understanding that the play about where their drop is going to align, whether it's a 3-step, 5-step, or 7-step drop, understanding that is it a deep pass that they're trying to accomplish. It's about more understanding the play and then again reacting to what the defense gives you. Hopefully the centers put you in a good position to be able to block any blitzes, any stunts that's coming, and working as a unit. And you think about the main one: set, punch, lock down, and it's that easy. You win daily.
Yep. So going off that, does the quarterback come in, like, let's say camp, let's say spring camp, does he come in and say like what he does and how he works as a quarterback to the offensive line? Or is that something you just kind of figure out as long as the season goes
you
on?
You figure out and feel.
Okay.
Right? There's certain quarterbacks, especially if they're rolling out. I've had it where quarterbacks like the ball put further out to their right or further out to their left. Mm-hmm. And you slowly build that relationship with your quarterback. Right? It's about understanding, too, as an offensive lineman, what you struggle with.
Yep.
Can you make sure that the guy beside you can help you with those struggles? Right. So in saying that, it's about understanding and building those relationships with your teammates around you.
Yep.
That goes further than, you know what, your raw skill on the field.
I completely agree. So offensive line play is all about togetherness. It's a unit. We're all about team. Do you know what I mean? That's like what offensive line is, right? We're working together.
Yep.
Has there ever been a point in your football career from youth to pro that you had somebody beside you that didn't want to work together or just didn't want to be a part of the team or just didn't want to help you out? He was all about him. How does that happen? How does that work out?
Yeah, you know what? I think I can look at it this way. I think the offensive line is the most important unit on the football field. I think their togetherness has to be on point. But you have that odd person that is not for the guys. It's not for the boys that they just want to kind of go out there, freelance, do what they need to do. I don't think you notice that much in the pros, but earlier in your career, you would probably see that. I'm sure you've had defensive teammates that it's like, man, this guy does not want to set this up for me, so I win. As an offensive lineman and as a group, you really have to nip that in the butt right away.
In youth ball, in high school ball, when that happens, you can't really replace them. You can't really, like, can't have a talking. Almost if that happens, how do you get through the season if you have somebody like that playing beside you?
Understand. Just it's about understanding the group. You may not be able to get rid of that person or be able to replace them, so it's about understanding the way they set, the way they do things, and it's catering to that. Every time, football knows that. You have 70 different people on a football field that are 70 different people in a locker room. Not everybody's going to get it wrong, but it's going to give you that love of the game, mm-hmm. right? About learning, about teaching, about working together with someone that, you know what, maybe doesn't see the things the way you do. It's important to understand as a left guard, if you're setting with a left tackle that is always going to try to put himself in the best position, it's about helping the center, but having great eyes to be able to protect the tackle, right? It's about on the inside zone or outside zone that the tackle's going to reach the defensive end. And if he doesn't reach him, he's just going to give up. It's about understanding that you need to power through it to work to the linebacker. So it's about maybe just catering in that point, right? Yep. We've all been there to cater around to others. What's a pass rush and why does it matter?
Pass rushing in football is where a defensive lineman or outside linebacker or linebacker is trying to get after the quarterback when he's passing the ball to a wide receiver. This is not when he hands off the ball to a running back. It's when he takes the ball under center and he drops back like he's throwing it. So the whole objective of us is to get to the quarterback as fast as we can so he doesn't get the ball off to make a first down. So what our objective is to get there under 2.5 seconds. That's kind of like the key goal of getting a sack. Obviously, sacks can happen in 3, 4, 5 seconds if the DBs are doing great. Pass rushing also involves a bunch of different techniques and moves to defeat your opponent, which is an offensive lineman. This goes into detail and detail as you see online with a bunch of coaches trying to show you how to get after the quarterback. It's become a big trend nowadays. But the main focus is just understanding what your opponent does and how he works to block you. And as soon as you understand what the offensive lineman does to block you, you can start to learn how to defeat him.
In saying that, we understand now what a pass rush is. What is the number one thing that a defensive lineman can work on their own to get better at?
Your get off. Like I said, we want to get to the quarterback as fast as we can, right? So, well, like I said, you got to get there under 2.5 seconds. So you got to be as fast as you can from the snap to when he's about to throw the ball. So if you can just work on your reaction timing when the ball gets snapped, and do you have a better get off than everybody on the line, or you can anticipate it by finding keys where you understand, oh, it's going to be on one this rep, or it's going to be on two. And when you find those keys, you improve your get off, you improve your reaction time. And sometimes you could be a slow 40-yard guy, but if you have a reaction time and you have a get off, you can be one of the best pass rushers in the world. And that's why you put a lot of athletic dudes at defensive end, because they're fast.
So those 2.5 seconds get off is the biggest thing. How can a unit, a defensive line unit, work on this together during practice?
You go out there with a tennis ball. You have one buddy in his defensive line stance, and then you're behind him with a tennis ball, and then you throw the tennis ball right in front of him. The guy in his stance is looking straight, not looking at you or the ball, and as soon as he sees in his peripherals the ball pass his face, he gets off the ball. And that can start working reaction time. And if you don't have a tennis ball, use a rock. Use like anything that you can just throw in front of your buddy to work on it. And that's something you can work every day outside. And if it's winter time, what you do is your first two steps. So you go at home and you just throw it in front of you and you get your first step. Throw it in front of you, get your first two steps. And then when it gets nicer out, go do the whole 5 yards, 10 yards and start doing that.
When you're using that tennis ball as a drill during practice, how do you take the get off and you bring that to a scrimmage level as a unit? Do you guys compete? Is there the winner that has the most get offs and the first person to make content? Have you guys ever done it where they don't have to run today? Or how do you make it a competition with the other defensive linemen that who has the best get off?
I don't, as a unit, as a defensive line, I think you're always competing. I don't think we really make goals where like, oh, if you get this many sacks, oh, you're the guy. I think it's just ingrained that if you have more sacks than me, you're doing better. Yeah. And I think every time you go up there as a defensive lineman and as a front four unit, yes, you're working together, but your opportunity and your goal is to be like, I'm going to get there before all my buddies get there because I want more sacks than them. Yeah. I want to be better than them. Do you know what I mean? But you don't take that to a level where you don't work together. Right? When there's stunts and everything, you apply that in the stunt. And if your boy gets a sack, you are happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you also have that hungry feeling where like, I want to have the most sacks out there. I want to have the most.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But never take that team aspect out of that because you're going to get more sacks if you work as a team.
Yeah.
So it's finding that happy medium. You know what I mean? You're going to have guys that just care about all their sacks and all this, but they don't end up getting as many sacks as they think because they could get more if they work together.
You're a D-line coach.
Yeah.
Your unit, you have one guy that's getting off the ball, doing a great job of it. The rest of the unit is slowly like getting used to the, you know, the tennis ball drill. They're starting to build it. I understand you don't want to compete against each other, but is there a way that you can incentivize your players as a defensive line coach? Hey guys, if you get off the ball, you know what? Less sprints. If you get off the ball, would you get a cookie? Like what's something that you as a coach you can do to help?
One thing I personally like from the Riders and when I like everything we kind of bring in as coaches, we kind of bring in from little things we liked as back in the day from a coach.
Absolutely. They did
to us because it made us feel special. So what made me feel special in the pros when I was playing special teams when we were on kickoff, it was the 4-1 club. So Coach Maggiore would be like, you get your running 10 yard start on kickoff, right? And you run from a certain point then to 40 yards, right? And if you get under 4.1 seconds in that run, you get a shirt that says 4.1. You get a whole Superman logo on it. So that's how I would incentivize kids to get better get-offs in practice. If you have the most hurries or the most sacks, right, when you get around, you can't hit the quarterback in practice, but you can touch him. If you get the most hurries or sacks in practice during that week, I would give you that shirt, the Superman shirt or the hurries or the pressures or the best get-off shirt, because you get something. It's not something like $100 or $200, which is crazy, but it's a shirt that nobody else gets unless you do something.
Yeah.
And that's that's what makes us compete and drive for something. It's, we want something that nobody else can get. And that makes things exclusive, is that, oh, he has that and I don't. Oh, I just want it. And nowadays people are just given stuff. They're not worked for stuff. So as a coach, I always want to get my players to work towards something. Even if we have a stud pass rusher, it doesn't not mean that every week he's going to get the most hurries.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. Right. So I know one week we're going to get one of those boys that's going to get the shirt and he's going to be pumped. And I bet you that goes to game day. That translates to the next week. And it brings that mentality of like, I want to work. I want to be there for the boys. I want to show coach.
Yep.
And that's just something I would bring into it.
Nice.
How do offensive linemen handle blitzing defenders?
Well, first, I think we need to talk about how an offensive line handles blitzing defenders is understanding what the blitz looks like. Is there keys that the defensive line is giving away? Is there packages as a defensive unit that they're giving away? But let's dumb it down. Let's bring it back to the very first time that you've ever handled a blitz as an offensive lineman. Basically, what's going to happen is that linebacker is going to either probably start on their toes, going to show a blitzing stance. You think about it, if they're dropping back into coverage or they're standing there, they're going to be flat-footed. We all know what it looks like to see someone flat-footed, but when someone's up on their toes, knees bent, looking eager to chase or to run, right? We have to understand, once you start to see that, that's a very first cue. What's going to happen? Ball's going to be snapped. You're going to take your appropriate set. Linebacker's going to come down. What you have to understand as an offensive lineman, and we've been told our whole lives, we're not as athletic. And that's very true. But what we hold is strength and power. And we have a good set in a little bit of time, have that linebacker come down. And what they're going to try to 9 out of 10 times do is use a speed move to get us off balance and then adjust off that, whether that's a rip, swim, spin, anything to be able to use their athleticism to their advantage. As an offensive line, understand when you take that set, work on a small point on that defender in their jersey. The nice thing about jerseys nowadays, whether they're Under Armour, Nike, they have that little logo. Whether it's the team name, they have that little logo. Best part about it, every jersey has a number on it. Top corner of a number, focus on that, punch that as hard as you can, clamp them down, you just stop the blitz. Now taking them to a pro level, where a lot of the even playing fields. Next thing you have to worry about is the defensive line, if they're going to stunt before that blitz happens, to be able to clear lanes for those linebackers, those defensive backs, free safeties that have that possibility of adding in. It's so much more understanding what your pass protection rules are as you get into college, university, and professional football. Having good knowledge, and unfortunately, since I was a center, it's learning from the center position out. Knowing that if the center, if they have anybody cross their midline going back, they have to leave if they're in this slide. And that right guard and that right tackle, or left guard and left tackle, are by themselves. So having that understanding of what's happening and all possibilities in a blitz package come to light. So as an offensive line group, you have to have good communication, a good sense of what are your cues you've learned all week long from watching film and taking that to the football field. And you know what? 9 out of 10 times you're going to stop a blitz if you fall down to your main rules of pass protection. What's going to happen is they're going to run something that you haven't seen all week and they're going to get home. But now you transition that to coming to the sidelines and taking the responsibility to learn of what happened and not letting that affect the rest of the game and flushing all the bad things that just happened. What does the defensive lineman do? Gets ball, sees ball.
All right, let's do this.
All right.